Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
All right. That has nothing to do with the message, but maybe it does. But either of those things. But God, He's faithful. We're going to receive today's offering, too, at the end of service. So, Pastor Mike, make sure I don't forget that. I want to give people an opportunity to give today. But it's probably going to be pretty easy to remember because the majority of today's message is about giving. All right? And so if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And as always, I would encourage you to read, you know, the full context of this passage, you know, on your own sometime this week, maybe multiple times. But Paul is teaching, you know, really the Corinthian church is almost like the, I don't know how to say this, but almost like a central church in Greece, okay? So it's an important piece, if you will, of the church growth for the world, okay? So the Corinthian church is it's a pivotal, you know, they're like in military terms, there are certain places that are pivotal pieces to have, right? There's certain pieces, why we put army bases at certain places, right? Strategic, right? That it is important. Corinthian church was that as well. And so, long story short, Paul is sending a letter, and he's like, hey, I'm coming to you because you promised an offering. You said you wanted to give an offering for the church in Jerusalem, and so I'm going to come get it. So make sure it's there, pretty much. It's like, so I wanted to make sure I reached out to you so none of us, he literally says, so none of us are embarrassed. He first says, so I'm not embarrassed, but then you're not embarrassed, right? So he's making sure, right, that it's taken care of. And then this is where, and he starts to teach, too, in this letter about the kingdom of God in giving and finances. And it's a very powerful scripture, very, very powerful passage. And giving is, you know, Pastor Jim used to say this, and he got it from Pastor Buddy, I know, and, you know, people always get funny when you talk about money, right? Have you ever heard that? And why is that? Because in the culture of our world since, the dawn of time, all right, this is not like it just happened, okay? It's always been going on. But money is one of those things that we as human beings like to be in control of. It's also something that we feel what is the word that I'm looking for? We feel warranted to be in control of it. Does that make sense today? Like, it's okay if I'm in control of this. Other stuff I'll give control, but it's okay. This is okay. I should be in control. But really, we just want to be in control, and we make up reasons why it's okay to be in control, to make ourselves feel okay. You do that stuff long enough, right? It just becomes a part of the way you think. And that becomes truth. Does that make sense? Up here. But the truth is this, that as Christians, we should always be giving everything to God, right? Everything. And allowing Him to take His workmanship and perfect it. Amen? And our finances are a huge part. And so today, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but as we talk about, this is a kingdom mindset, okay? It's a kingdom mindset. And if we can learn to relinquish our finances, other things that we're having a hard time relinquishing will begin to kind of like click. You ever experienced that in life? There are certain strongholds that you just have in your life, and once that's relinquished, like all these other things come into place, you're like, well, what just happened? Because the same principle you can use for this, you can use for a lot. Does that make sense? Okay. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, remember this. We're going to go verse by verse. So, for about 100 verse, I'm just kidding. Verse 6. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Praise the Lord. And when I hear this, I hear expectation. Right? If you are expecting a good harvest, would you not want to plant as much as you can? You ever hear something and it's like, you know, face palm it, pretty serious. And I was thinking about this, I was praying about this, and the Holy Spirit just ran me over. It's like, if you have 100 seeds, and I guarantee you that when you plant all of those 100 seeds, a harvest is coming up, why are you planting 50? And I'm like, you just stop it, Holy Spirit. It's like the most simplest concept, right? Am I right? Like, that is, to me, at least, I was like, Brandon? And the Holy Spirit just ran me over. It's like, your expectation is driving how much you're planning. And I was like, whoa, mamma mia. All right? Because if all of us in the room, we all had a bag of 100 seeds, and I told you right now, if you plant every one of those 100 seeds, and out of each of those seeds, $1,000 is going to come up. It would be. Have you ever seen those cartoons where somebody turns around and they turn around and it's like there's just a paper flying because everybody has just run out of the room like really quick? That's what would have just happened, right? Because everybody would be like, $100,000, right? You would have been like, done, right? And after you plant it, what would you be doing? Every day. You'd be out there. You'd be watering it, you know. You'd be talking to it, right? You'd be putting fertilizer on it. Like Menards would be like, you've bought so much Miracle-Gro. What is happening? You'd, every little weed, you know, squirrel comes up, you shoot it. You know what I'm talking about? We ain't even messing around, all right? Okay, get out of here. There's a good, easy way to make sure that never happens again. You know what I'm talking about? But we would protect it. And why are we protecting it? Because of the expectation of what it's going to bring. Because of the expectation, the assurance of what it's going to bring. And when I read that, it's a whole new light for me. And again, we're talking about kingdom principles, okay? So yes, this is true for our finances, but how many of you know it's true with everything else? So if you have an expectation, when you plant your time, you are going to be redeemed. A harvest comes up. Amen? All right, let's go on. Verse 7. Expectation is key. Verse 7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Yeah. Cheerfully. Now, what we see here is better to give with a decision made, already made. Okay? And what does that mean? Well, that means that you have to have already had a conversation with God. Already had a conversation with God. And how does that conversation look? Well, remember we talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about the Holy Spirit. You can say, hey, I'm going here. Come with me. Or you can say, where are you going, Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit want? Well, there's only really one choice. Go where the Holy Spirit's going. Amen? And that's what this is talking about here, because it's saying, hey, make a decision. And so for us, hey, God, I've got this money. What do you want me to do with it? That's how that conversation happens. Not, hey, I'm going to do this, God. Do something, right? And how many know that, like, God still honors the seeds that we plant? Isn't that cool? But how many of us would agree that it would be better to say, God, what do you want to do? How do you want to split this up? What do you want us to do? And the grace of God will be over your property, over the things that you invest in. It's amazing. Yeah. So you can't give out of pressure, right? You've got to recognize that is not what God wants. God actually wants to have a personal relationship with God, okay? Does that make sense? So Cherry and I, we have a marriage, okay? We are married to each other. And so is it better for me to come up and say, hey, hon, I'm thinking about this. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go to dinner? We're thinking, you know, I'm thinking, here's a few options. Is that a better approach, or say, me to come up and, like, use a pressure point and say, we're going to go here, submit? You think that's going to go well, anybody? It's not going to go well, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, we're probably not even going to go to dinner, all right? Dinner's not even happening, all right? Well, maybe for charity, but it's not happening for me. You know what I'm talking about? Because you can't eat when you're dead. You know what I'm talking about? Like, but my point is, that's a relationship. You see, Jesus wants a personal relationship with us. Jesus is not going to ever strip us of that opportunity, but we can strip that opportunity all the time by the way that we approach our relationship with God. And we approach our relationship with God sometimes where it's just like, hey, this is what's happening, you know, just. And I think that that's really important to recognize in our giving, in our finances, is, hey, God, what do you want to do? I've got, you know, X amount of money. How do you want to split this up? What do you want me to do? Even in, like, what we purchase, what we invest in, it's our giving, yes, to our church or offering those things, but it's also everything else. And I think about, we live in Nebraska, so you don't have to drive too far to see a cornfield, right? I mean, I think 5 minutes, we could probably see a cornfield right now. You know what I'm talking about? Just hop on Dodge and boom. Why is there a cornfield right here? And how many of you have ever seen these giant machines, right? These planters, and I kind of geek out about agricultural stuff, so I know a little bit too much information. Well, no, maybe not, but I know more information about it sometimes, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing, you know? And they're so precise now. The precision, you know, 12, 24, now I think a 30, somebody can help me out, 36? 36 rows planted at the same time. Space perfectly. Exactly how deep they need. They have these monitors. Yep, here you go. Told you I can geek out. They have these monitors, these things that they attach to the seeder, and it is pushing the seed down into the ground. As it's doing it, it's taking three different measurements, all right? Where the water is, the organic material, and something else because I don't know, all right? And as it's going, it's making precise adjustments to where the seat should be to get the optimal. That's amazing. You know that you can go out to a field, though, and you can plant with a old six-row seater if you want? Why do four? Yeah. Why does a farmer invest so much money into that machine? Yeah. Why are they? Because they're doing it on purpose. They're doing it like their life depended on it. They're doing it on purpose. I mean, how ridiculous would it be? You drive out to, you're driving, you see this beautiful field. It's all like, it's been like plowed, tilled, beautiful dirt. And you see this random dude out there. He's got a 5-gallon bucket. And he's just like. Like that dude's, call somebody. That man is crazy town out there. What's he doing? What's that man? You ever been to a wedding before and the flower girl comes up, right? Little toddler, cute little flower girl. She puts her hand in for the flower petals. First, boom, all the flowers. You know what I'm talking about? And then everybody's like, come on down, do more. She didn't have any more flowers. Like, it's done. It's a done deal, all right? It's already been dropped all in one spot. And we have to recognize we have to plant on purpose. And I will say this to take it a step further. We are planting on purpose, whether you think it or not. So what are you going to plant into? How are you going to be purposeful? And I think a lot of people, we give out of our feelings. We give out of our emotions. And we need to give according to the Spirit. Amen? And notice that it says also, this is pretty powerful stuff, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. God loves. Now, God loves us no matter what. But he loves a cheerful giver. Charity, as my wife, she loves me. I mean, it's not unconditional because we're human beings, okay? God's the only unconditional love that we can have. And we will never understand that as human beings fully. Like, we get revelation after revelation after revelation. Like, that's just like, that will boggle your mind over and over again. An unconditional love. But Charity, she loves me, okay? But she does not love it when I'm selfish. Do you get that? She loves me. But if I'm doing something that's selfish, that's all about me, she does not love that. Does that make sense? But she will still love me. Okay? Now, if I do that enough. But do you get the difference? See, God loves you no matter what. But he loves a cheerful giver. He loves when you give cheerfully. How many of you want to be in that? Yeah, that sounds good. My relationship with Charity is incredible. It's beautiful. But I recognize the more that I honor her, the more beautiful our relationship becomes. Verse 8. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Come on, somebody. And Pastor Mercedes has been preaching on the harvest. It's been so good. It's been so challenging to me. It's pushed me. It's rubbed me the wrong way in all the right ways, you know, and pushed me to think differently. And to me, this verse is so much what, there's so many pieces that she's been talking about in this. And he'll provide all you need. Sorry, give me a minute. So we've got to recognize this, that when we're giving unto him, we are giving into the kingdom. Okay? So I want you to visually look at this, that there are really two harvests that can happen in the world. There's one within the kingdom and then one without, outside of the kingdom. Okay? Does that make sense? There's two harvests that can, and if we are truly kingdom-minded, we should be planting in the kingdom field. Okay? And recognizing this, that the harvest that comes up is in and for the kingdom. And our provision, what we need, comes from the kingdom harvest. Okay, so this is kind of, wait, what? I'll give you, well, let's draw. I wasn't going to draw, use this for this, but now we are, because it's here. Okay. Everybody see this okay? So for us, it's recognizing this, okay? Woo, yeah. Those are bad squares, but it's okay. Thank you. You get the gist. Okay, this is the kingdom. Okay, and so you have your seed, and you can plant it here, or you can plant it here. Okay, you get the picture? And as Christians, the freedom as a king's kid, okay, as heirs of Christ, our provision, if we wanted to, can come from here. Now, you see how much bigger this is than everything else? Okay? So we have to recognize this principle, okay? That we have a few different options when we're planting our seeds, when we're recognizing our provision comes from the kingdom, okay? So what does that mean? That means that when we plant a seed, the harvest that comes up, it's not ours. It's God's. It's the kingdom's. Okay, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but that means that our provision is taken care of by where? The kingdom. See, when we do it on our own, we plant our seeds. The harvest comes up, and that's where our provision comes from. Our own doing. If you plant a seed, will you still? Yeah, you still will. But do you recognize how this is different? And this is a big mindset thing, okay? It's how we're looking and thinking about giving and receiving. And so now a harvest is coming up. And now because we're partnering with God, he's saying, hey, here's what you need, your provision. Now I'm going to take some of this, and through you, I'm going to take care of someone else's needs. And we begin to receive a lot of joy from that. Because this is so big, there are things that God wants to do for us in abundance. We'll talk about that in a minute. Because he does more than enough for us. More than enough is, it's more than enough. That means it's more than enough. So there's enough. And then there's more than enough. You guys get it? I know you do. And again, this is a principle for us that we can recognize here in our life. This can apply to everything. It can apply to our time that we give. I remember 3 or 4 years ago, we redid our roof. And I decided that I was going to do our roof. And so called a few friends. And I could have done it all myself if I wanted to, but I called a few friends to help me out. And so I think it was Labor Day weekend. You know, it's me and three other people up on a roof tearing it off. We tear it off in 2 to 4 hours. I have a small roof. How many of you know I could have done that myself? Yeah. So when they came, what did they do? They redeemed my time. Otherwise, I would have been just to tear off the roof, like probably 6 to 8 hours by myself. You ever torn off a roof in the heat? Yeah. There's those moments you look at something, a project, and you're like, oh, man. You know what I'm talking about? So when you look over and your buddy's there tearing it off, you know, there's something that happens, you know, and then men, we have this weird testosterone thing, and we're like, yeah, tools, let's, you know. Anyway. So what was happening? They were redeeming my time, okay? And so when we do that, now the promise is that God's going to now redeem our time. And there's also, and I'm not going to get way into this, but I'm going to get a little into this. There's also a mindset of how we receive in here, okay? So I can look at them and be like, thanks so much. Thanks, guys. That was awesome. Or I can say, thank you. Lord, right now I acknowledge that they gave unto me and redeemed my time. And as my time is redeemed, I ask that you would now redeem their time, that that harvest would be plentiful and powerful in their life. Okay. So now, where does that come from? It comes from God. Does that make sense? The time that they gave to me was from where? It was from God. So what am I doing? I'm acknowledging him in all things. Sound familiar? In all your ways, acknowledge him. So now you're acknowledging where the harvest in your life right now is coming from. So you can be thankful for the harvest, but then you can also then acknowledge where it's coming from. And then you can speak that over other people. All right? Do you see how this is just like this beautiful circle that's happening? And we could spend a lot of time in there, okay? But then now your thinking is correctly for receiving, all right? Some of us have a really hard time receiving. Some of us are bad at it, okay? But if your heavenly Father is giving it, it's coming into your hands. It's not mine. It's his. Now I'm going to take this maybe for my provision right now, but now I'm also going to use it maybe for something else, or later down the road, there will be something that I will be giving into. See, the receiving and the giving, it can become so natural and so easy. Yeah. Okay, verse 9, let's move on. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever.
Forever.
Forever. If you've ever seen Sandlot, you're welcome. All right. If you haven't, homework. All right. How dare you come into this place and not see the movie Sandlot? You know, I'm just kidding.
Forever.
You want to be remembered forever? Share freely, give generously to the poor. Who are the poor? Those that are starving, that are in need. And that's not just financially. It's across the board. There's all kinds of different versions of that, how that works. But it's across the board. We can meet that need when we be remembered forever. Verse 10. For God's the one who provides seed for the farmer, bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources. And then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Okay, we're gonna camp here. We're gonna kind of focus on this for just a minute, and then we're gonna close down. I'm gonna try to erase this. Could someone help me? Could someone erase this for me? Thank you so much, Charity. Awesome. Mic and everything, there's gonna be a lot of weird falling of items if I do that, I think. So this is great. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat. What does that mean? Out of your harvest, not only will you have what you need right now, your bread to eat, but then you'll also have enough to plant a new seed for a new harvest. And this is how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God works in multiplication. Okay, so you plant seeds, and what comes up? Well, two things, seeds and bread for right now. If you're selfish and you use it all for bread right now, some of that bread's going to go bad anyway. Now you don't have any seed to plant. You do that for long enough, and you find yourself with a poverty mindset and a lacking mindset. Because I don't have anything to plant. I don't have anything, so I can't do that. If I do that, I'm not going to have enough. And I can probably pretty confidently say that we've all been there. Okay? So there is no condemnation. I'm just saying it like it is because we don't have time. Okay? Like, so we're just putting on our big boy pants for a minute and just saying it like it is. Okay? Everybody cool with that? All right? So what we have to recognize is this, that when we plant a seed, when we partner with God in our giving, now our provision for right now is taken care of, and now we also have a responsibility to plant. What does that mean? There's always going to be something left to plant. And you're like, nuh-uh. I'm like, well, let me look at your budget, and then we'll see if it's a nuh-uh. All right? And again, big boy pants, okay? Everybody cool with that? Because that's challenging, that's hard. What does that mean? That means that I'm going to maybe have to sacrifice or change the way I'm living or change something about it so that I can make room for the priority. And what's the priority? God. And sometimes we don't like that because we're like, well, do you even know how or what's going on? Like, no, I don't. And I'm not saying that it's not going to be hard. I'm just saying that that is what the Bible is speaking of. Okay? And this is hard, but it is true. And I'm not going to tell you a lie. And so the reality is this, if you can learn to change things to make God the priority in everything, then things begin to shift in your life. And when we're talking about money, money is the hardest thing. Because why? Because the comforts that you're feeling, whatever they are, you're like, I don't have any comfort. Well, it's just because you're comparing yourself to someone else, okay? And you don't live their life day in and day out, so you actually don't know. But you're comparing yourself to someone else, or you're comparing somebody to the highlights of their life, of a social media or something like that. And so the reality is this, that we have to say, okay, what could I do in my life right now to change things to make God the priority? So that when that $1,000 comes in, that $100 is going to tithe. And then I'm like, all right, I got 900 bucks left. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Even if that means maybe giving some more, right? What? Yeah. Or maybe it's something else. And how many of you know that God will begin to turn the ship? And if you've never experienced it, you can come talk to Charity and I because we've experienced that like crazy. And most people would say, man, you guys, if people looked at our finances, they would be like, that does not make sense. I 100% guarantee you, okay? Because it doesn't to the world. But to God, it makes perfect sense. Does that make sense? And so that is super, it's so key and important to recognize, okay? And so God will take care of what you need right now, and then he will provide seeds so that you can plant for a new harvest. That means that you have what you need now, and now you're planting a new, and now that's going to come. Now you have more provision and more seed. Now you see how the multiplication starts happening. Now you got fields all over the place, baby, okay? And they're sprouting up all over. Now you have so much, you're like, I don't even need this much. You're like, whoa. I never thought that I could even live like this, and I still have so much more to give. Whenever you hear If you haven't, then you'll now. But when you hear a story of somebody that gives out of their 90% and lives off of their 10%, that's how they're doing it. Because they have steered their ship and moved their ship for such a long time to where God is like, boom, 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 boom. This guy, this girl, they're such good stewards. They're so faithful. They're so responsible. They have shown me that they will do whatever I say with their money. Boom, 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 boom. And the world doesn't understand it. In fact, the church sometimes doesn't understand it. And so now you have people that are Christians and people in the world that are like, man, that just doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem, really? Does it? Do you follow them around every day, every moment of their day, and now you like somehow have a spying look that you know exactly what's going on? The world has a really hard time with that. Like, oh man, nope, Christians, they can't, no, that's not how it works. Really? Because if the world runs off of money, and the kingdom of God is going to come to earth as it is in heaven, the kingdom of God can annihilate the system if we allow it to. Does that make sense? And how does the system work right now? We all know how it works. It's all about me. I got to get mine. And after I take care of me, I'll give an inheritance, which is really just me. Right? The kingdom of God says, nope. It enters the kingdom of God. It stays in the kingdom of God. It goes out to the kingdom of God. In and out, in and out, in and out. Works that way. You do that enough, you annihilate the system that our world lives on. Okay. I think this also speaks about capacity. This is what we're going to kind of close down with. Did I open that marker?
No, I didn't.
You're so cool. You're so awesome. Thank you. So, I called Colin this week because I was... I knew that I was at a point, and this happens for all of us, and it should happen a lot, right? But where I was like, man, the capacity that I'm living right now is just not enough for where God's taken me, and I've got to, like, up my capacity, okay? I know that God is calling us to do more in all these different areas of our life, and if we're going to do that, that means more. And right now, I'm here, and I know I need to go more, and I'm having a hard time this time. Sometimes, we go right there. Boom, it's like an easy jump. There are other times where, like, I know I got to, something is not, I can't get there, okay? And I'm so thankful for Colin in my life, and his coaching, and just his accountability, and he said some really profound things to me. He said, so, you know, write on a paper, you know, low capacity. Okay. High capacity. Like, okay. And so I do that. And, you know, he said, your low capacity is wherever you're at right now, all right? Your high capacity is where you're going. And most people... they focus on this part right here, this line. Okay, what is the line? The line is the movement to, right? The movement to the high capacity. And what does that mean? The movement to the high capacity is change. Okay? It's getting out of your comfort zone. It's the tough stuff. It's the things nobody really wants to do, okay? And so this is the hard part. And most people focus on that. And that's what usually stops them from moving to there. Because they're focusing on this. What you got to focus on is this. What is that going to get you? And I was like, huh. Because most people that say they can't go, they're looking at this part, they're like, that's just too much pressure. I mean, we've all said that. There's too much. That's too much pressure. That's too much. But then he said, but you got to look at whatever this is that you're going to develop, won't that mean that now you have less pressure? Because now you have developed whatever it is to be able to handle that. And I was like, bro, Holy Spirit just spirit bombed our conversation. I was like, what? And I'm going to give you a few really simple examples, but let's just take debt. All right, financial debt, okay? Debt, we'll put that in this low capacity. If you're in debt, you're like, I want to get out of debt, all right? And if you're in here and you're like, I don't want to, you should want to, okay? God does not want you in debt, okay? Debt is bondage, okay? God wants you out of debt, okay? And so if you look at this and you're like, I am in debt and I want to get out of debt, all right, what is it going to take to get debt free? Somebody's like, debt free. Does that sound good to anybody? Debt free. It's great. Debt free. Debt free. So what does debt-free feel like? Is there any pressure? Is there any pressure with debt? Yeah. When we were in debt, all I could think about was the debt, to be really frank. I was thinking about it. This was like a huge fight, not to focus on it. I think about it all the time. I would always like, God, help me not focus. Dead. And the moment that it changed is what? When we started doing this. Okay, what I want you to get is this, that if we change our mindset a little bit, the debt, a lot of pressure. The moment we start changing, now I can start looking myself in the mirror. Because I'm doing something. Taking a step. If I'm not careful, I'll look around me and be like, this is so hard. I'm tired of eating like this, buying groceries like this. I want to just go out to eat. Maybe that's just me, okay? There's a lot of things, all right? These different things that you're doing. So that's, and if I'm not careful, all I'll do is focus on that. But what do I really need to focus on? Debt free, baby. Debt free. Okay. And when I read this scripture, I think about this. Why? Because God will provide what you need for this. What is that? That's your bread. That's your provision for right now. He will provide this for right now. All right. But then he also provides for this. Praise the Lord. All right. What is that? Because now, if I'm debt free, do you think I have more that I can plant? Yeah. Yeah. And things start to change in my life. Now, this is one example. We could use there are so many examples in life, all right? If you're dealing with pornography, okay? What's the opposite of porn? Purity. Okay, so let's talk. How much pressure is there if you have a pornography addiction? Lots of pressure. You're trying to cover it up. You're trying to keep it secret. There's so much pressure. What kind of pressure is happening with purity? There's nothing. Okay? What does it take to get here? Well, I can tell you from experience, all right? A lot of you know my testimony, but for years before I met Charity, for about 11 years, I dealt with this crippling addiction to pornography, all right? So this, until I was willing to start taking those steps, this is where I was. And what do those steps look like? Well, it looked like accountability. That sucks. All right? All right? Like real accountability. It meant my devices get checked in or I don't have them. Well, that sucks. Yeah. You know what's awesome now? This. You know what has no pressure? This. It's awesome. It's amazing. But to get there, does that make sense? I mean, we could talk about, again, how many things can we talk about right here? You can fill in the gap, right? Like, so many things. And that's why I say, when we talk about this, man, if you can learn in your giving, in your finances, to relinquish those things with God, there's other things that just start to fall in line. And I believe that the Holy Spirit today, the message today specifically, because Pastor Mercedes, as she's talking about the harvest, as she's talking about, like, what is this? What is this? What is this for us? What is this? So we can fill in the gap here and here, okay? And for a lot of us, we're like, well, you know, there's financial stuff, right? But then there's all this other stuff that we got to get right too, okay? And this is not at all a condemnation thing like, you better fix it, all right? That's not what I'm saying, all right? I'm saying this. When I look out into this room, all right, I see a bunch of winners, okay? People that God has called to do great things, incredible things. And what does that mean, all right? He's given all of us the ability to move from here to here. What is that? Glory to glory, baby. Glory to glory. New mercies every day. And he's given us what? He's given us bread for the journey, okay? He's given us that bread. And now he's giving us a harvest of new seeds to plant. Praise the Lord. So good. And I'm jacked about it, all right? You can probably tell. I'm so excited for what that means for us, okay? Why? Because it means freedom in every area of our life. It means there's no more bondage. And we are moving constantly in everything that we do with the Holy Spirit. Everything that we do. Let's finish this out. Verse 11 says, yes. I love that. Yes. Yes. You will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. Man, I want that so bad. I want to be able to just give just like crazy. Like, that's ridiculous every day. Amen? That's ridiculous. That is a 75% tip on nachos. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Ridiculous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem, because that's where it was going. The Greek actually says the holy people, okay? It's like the church, if you will. The people that need it are getting taken care of, will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. Verse 13, as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will provide that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. See, giving unto God with the right heart, cheerfully, kingdom-minded, it will result in God getting glory, and it will also prove your obedience to what? The good news of Christ. That's the gospel. That's wild. So in your giving, you are being obedient to the good news of Christ, to the gospel of Christ. That's wild. Just let that shake around for a little bit. Verse 14, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. So as you give, what does that mean? People are thankful. Have you ever gotten anything from anybody? What are you? You're thankful, all right? You're like, thank you. Now you're thinking about that person. Right? Later in your week, you're like, man, that was really cool that they did that for me. Have you ever gotten a really good gift from somebody? You're like, that was awesome. And maybe you see it over and over and over again. What do? You think of them. Now, again, this goes back into that giving and receiving thing in the kingdom of God. So this is how we squash the system, all right, of the world. So the more people that recognize this and understand that, so as the church, we lead the way, and then we bring more people into that, right? More people into that freedom. And now when I'm giving, all right, now that person, they're not just like, thanks for thanks. They're thanking God for it. Now what do they become? Participants. Now we're all participating, even in our receiving, in our giving, in our receiving. And our general concept and idea is that when we're receiving, we are not participating. Does that make sense? But in the kingdom of God, we can participate by thanking God for it, recognizing where it came from, recognizing what it is now doing in that person's life, and agreeing with that, and recognizing now seed is coming that we are now going to be able to plant somewhere. And so now, when we are giving, we are participating, and when we are receiving, we are participating. Some of us have had a hard time. I'm just going to be real, all right? Some of us have had a hard time with Pastor Mercedes' message because there's a lot of harvest. There's a lot of, whoa, that's a lot of, can she say that? Yeah, she can. You know, I'm just being real, okay? I can be transparent about that because some of that, and I'm like, man, and the Holy Spirit's like, hey, let's get this right, okay? And I'm like, yes, sir. I want to get that right. Because when she's been speaking, it's like the Holy Spirit's trying to go. I'm trying to expand your, and I'm like, okay. It's okay. So it's expansion, right? And I'm so thankful. This week I've been thanking God for what the Holy Spirit's been speaking through Pastor Mercedes because it is expanding things. And so when we talk about this participation side, when the Holy Spirit dropped that, I was like, man, oh man, oh man, oh man. So I need to change what I'm doing when I'm receiving. That's what it told me. I'm not just thanking for thanking. This, thanks, all right? I need to take a moment. Thank you, God. And I acknowledge that this is from you. Thank you. And I receive that. I thank you for that. And I thank you that this is one of two things right now. And I know you'll tell me. It is either for provision right now or it is a new seed to plant. So tell me what it is. Okay. Now I know what it is. Now I'm going to use it for that. Now I recognize that that was a seed that they planted. And now I speak to their harvest. And I thank you, God, that that harvest is going to be for their provision now and for new seed. And I thank you that your multiplication is taking place. To me, when I think about that, that is relationship. That's what Jesus wants. That's what he longs for. And I'm just gonna, again, I'm going to be really transparent with you. And I've just cheapened that. And so what I do is I just, thanks, God. And then what is it? It's just, if I'm not careful, it's just lip service. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, what is love? It says all these things. And if you do these good things, it's just like a loud gong if it doesn't have love. I'm like, so this is another way to declare my love for my Heavenly Father, for my Savior. We will never fully fathom the deepness of the relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ, the personal relationship. Like we'll never fully fathom that. But we can try, right? We can keep pushing. We can keep moving forward. We can keep doing more. We can keep on, keep on, keep on. And what I love about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit's always faithful in those moments to take us deeper. And so for us in this room today, I think it's pretty clear for all of us what some next steps look like in our life. And I want to remind you today of this. And I put these little dotted lines for a reason, okay? Because that's what it is. They're steps. But I want to remind you today that you might look at your circumstance and still see, let's just say, we're going to use this example, debt, okay? You might look at if the moment that you make a decision, I'm going to get out of debt, your debt doesn't just like, right? But you still got to walk. But it's that moment that you can say, I'm never going to be that much in debt the rest of my life. That's the most debt I will ever be in my life next day. The number's less. That's the most debt I will ever be the rest of my life. The number's less. That's the most debt I will ever be the rest of my life. And you watch the Holy Spirit work in your life. You watch. You watch. As the lines go like this. Why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit causes your walk to turn to a sprint or into a jog and into a sprint. And pretty soon you'll find yourself in a Lamborghini speeding down the highway to hit that goal, baby. All right? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He acknowledges when we start to surrender to Him. And He equips us and graces us with the ability to move forward faster than we could on our own. And that is not just in money. It is in every area of our life. So today, you have really two options, right? You can walk out of this room and you can be here, okay? Or you can walk out of this room with the first step. Already in play. Does that make sense? Already in play. It's already in play. It's already moving. Okay? And the Holy Spirit will tell you what that first step is. Okay? Most of us know what the first step is, probably. I would just encourage you to step into that. Let's just take a moment as we close. I just saw the Holy Spirit just to minister to you today. Just speak to you. Just take a moment. Just focus in on Him. Push away distractions today. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And if you're in the room and you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, that's a free gift to you that's right now available. So if there's anybody in the room that wants that gift, just lift up your hand and say, I need that today. Anybody in the room? Okay. So in just a moment, we're going to receive today's offering. Ushers, you can go ahead and come on up front. And I think this is just so fitting today. We're going to receive two things in today's offering, okay? And I know, I'm going to say this right now, and I know that this is 100% true, but I'm just giving directions to the ushers so everyone hears me. There's going to be two things in there. There's going to be offering envelopes and offering. There's going to be some sheets of paper that are folded up, crumpled up. You can't open those. And today, we're going to put our offering in this, tithes and offerings. And then also, maybe there's some things that you just need to write down that you're going to close up today. And you're going to be like, we're going to let that be at the altar today. We're going to just use this as just as something that's symbolic today to say, I'm going to let go of this. And I'm going to take the first step, okay? So if you got a sheet of paper, cool. If you don't, I guess find one, all right? If you want to do that, you don't have to do that, okay? But if you want to today, in the offering today, to say, hey, I'm just symbolically, you know, you can write whatever it is on there, whatever this is, you know, whatever that may be, you know, and some of you, it might be a financial thing, right? It might be debt-free that you want, okay? It might be, you know, a new car. It might be, it could be a lot of different things, and it could also be, you know, freedom from an addiction or freedom from, you know, some sort of sin habit that you've been dealing with. It could be a lot of things, okay? But I would just encourage you to write down what it is that you're moving towards, okay? If the Holy Spirit is, and that's probably not for everybody, but that's for some people in the room today, okay? All right? So let's just agree together. Let's just pray over today's offering. Lord, we thank you, God, for the opportunity, the honor to give into your kingdom. And it's even more than that. It's just partnering with your kingdom. That you would see us knowing all of our imperfections, all of our mess ups, all of the stuff, and say, you know what? I want you to be a part of what I am doing. I'm going to invest into you because I believe in you. Thank you so much. And we want to be the best stewards of that. And so today we honor you with our tithes, our first fruit. We also honor you with our offering, what you're calling us to do. And we also honor you today in recognizing this, that maybe some things that we're writing down, that's our expectation of who you are. It's our expectation to be debt-free. For a new car, for purity in our life, free of addiction. Healthy, fit, all of these things are things that, and other things today. And we thank you, God, that you are putting your super on our natural, that you are quickening our steps. And we thank you, God, that in you it'll be here. In no time. We praise you, God. We agree with you today. If you agree with that, say amen today. Amen, amen. You can bring, we're going to close. You can bring your tithes and offering. You can bring them up right now, but we're going to formally dismiss. If you need prayer for healing in your body, or if you want somebody to stand with you in any sort of way, we'll be here. We'd love to talk, pray for you. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week, and we will see you next week. Midweek service, 6 p.m. Wednesday. Prayer and intercession. Thursday morning, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. Have a great week.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.